Welcome to Ice Time, the Buffalo News' hockey podcast. I'm Lance Lysowski, Sabres beat writer for the Buffalo News, joined, of course, by Mike Harrington, our hockey columnist. And here we are, Mike.
In the home office.
Yeah, in the home office, doing this thing in person. First one for 2025, right? Second one? First one.
First one in person, so that's the biggest point.
Well, there we go. Yeah. And there's always something to discuss. So here we are, 41 games of the season. It is hard to believe it has already been 3 months since they opened in Prague. And quite a bit has happened.
It feels like 3 years.
It does
to
the fan
base.
That
have happened in this season already.
Yeah, you look at December alone and all the calamity. The winless streak. It's been sort of a roller coaster, to say the least. And, I mean, remarkably, Mike, they are only 6 points out of a playoff spot. And it's... I think it was, at least from my perspective, hilarious to hear how people responded to you on social media when you reminded them of this and you pointed out the standings. You got raw vegetables thrown at you. People don't want to believe they're not going to have their hearts broken by this team right now. They've kind of mailed it in, wake them up when, you know, at least 15 or 20 more games into this and they've won more than 3 games in a row.
All right.
But the standings are the standings.
I get it, people. You're annoyed, you're upset with this team, you should be. And if you checked out, as I wrote in my column, if you checked out after that 13-game winless streak, you are perfectly within your rights. However, the idea that they have a 13-game winless streak probably means they should be 20 or 30 points out and
typically
dead and buried.
Yeah.
And the reality is they are, as we tape this, 6 points out. They're going to fall back a couple points based on games on Tuesday night. But 6 points with 41 games left is 6 points with 41 games left. That means there's 82 points to get if you want to do the math. Now, do I think they're going to get there? Well, until we see a winning streak, that's why people don't believe. They haven't won 4 in a row in 2 years, since January of 2023. But to say they're out of it and done and buried simply isn't true. And the win against the Washington Capitals made it into that situation and made it relevant at the halfway mark to discuss where they are in the standings, which is, after all, the whole objective of this thing.
For them to have any shot of taking advantage of this unprecedented tiny gap in the standings, comparatively speaking, not only are they going to have to stay healthy, Mike, and get Jordan Greenway back, but they're also going to have to stop blowing leads. At some point, this team has to figure that out. I know it was feel good after that Washington game. They went in a shootout. They desperately needed that one after the way that Colorado and Vegas went. But you still look at it. They blew another lead. They score first. They're still not generating anything in third periods. You look at the shots on goal. I mean, Lindgren only had to stop. He only had to face four shots in the third period. It's very difficult to win in this league if you can't create anything offensively in third periods. Yes, there's been incremental progress, I would say, in the way that they're playing. It's definitely much different than that winless streak. But still, it's very difficult to imagine this team putting together any substantive win streak just with the way that they're playing.
Right. So you don't have the PTSD that I have from Colorado.
I saw the one in Buffalo, though.
You saw the one in Buffalo, but in Colorado, of course, folks, I had an entire story written about a 5-3 win, and that went poof in the night in the last 2.5 minutes of regulation there. That's journalistic nightmares. But Lindy Ruff had his own nightmares about that game, and I think it goes back to the fact they do play very passively when they have a lead. They played very passive on the 6-on-5 in Colorado, and even last night there were too many turnovers at the line in the neutral zone in the third period. They were very passive on the shift where they had the fluky kind of tying goal against them. Owen Power was in front of the net, couldn't get rid of the puck. It ended up a midair tip in past Luukkonen to get that game tied, and the Sabres simply... Last year, they played from behind in chase games all night. This year, they're playing from in front. They're constantly scoring first. They don't add on enough to create space in these games. When are they ever going to win a game 6-2 and just go home comfortably? They just don't do that. That's been a big issue here. And again, last night, they never got that 4-2 goal, and it allowed the Capitals to, after 15 minutes, finally get that game even.
I thought Tage Thompson's perspective after the game was interesting. He explained that, you know, they start the game doing the right things, holding on to pucks, playing a simple game, but they get a lead, and all of a sudden, they want to make the perfect play. And it started in the second half of the second period on Monday night, where they would cross the blue line, and instead of getting it behind the defenseman or using your speed to get around them, I'm going to force a pass across the ice. And I don't care who you're playing in the NHL. Look at the standings. There are teams that you would expect to have been at the bottom who are much higher. We're going to talk about one of them pretty soon here. But you can't make mistakes like that in the NHL. And I'm sure that Lindy Ruff has been beating his head against the wall to try to get these guys to understand that. And he's mentioned that we've changed some of the ways that we're playing. We've tried to simplify things for these guys. And it's translating to some better performances. But that, in my opinion, Mike, is one of the obstacles to them really closing the gap and actually being competitive in the second half of the season and having something to play for.
And you've heard me sitting in the press box last night going, get it in deep, get it in deep. That comes from 15 years ago, listening to Lindy Ruff at practice, just drilling it into the heads of guys like Thomas Vanek and Derek Roy. Get it in deep. If you don't get the puck in deep, you give the other team an easier chance. They're not coming from 200 feet away. And a lot of times you're creating turnovers and you're creating their offense for them.
And I think that we've seen an evolution in the NHL in terms of how teams are scoring and how they're having success. There were a few years there where you were creating off the rush, and the Sabres did it in 22-23, where it was a very rush-dominant game, where you didn't simplify until really the playoffs, but now the best teams play simple. Like, that's the way that the league has evolved based on playoff success and whatnot. We can go through all the reasons for that. And still, this group, because of the success, this core, right, the success that they had in 22-23, they can't get that bug out of them.
No.
Because that's how they played then.
And think of the Florida careless. Think of the Florida Panthers. You want to think of a team that has incredible skill but plays simple. Do the Florida Panthers make those kind of turnovers in the neutral zone and at their own blue line? Almost never.
They did before they fired Andrew Burnett and brought in Paul Maurice.
And they changed their system.
And they realized that this is not a sustainable way of playing, and the Sabres have tried to make that same transition. And it's happening much slower than obviously the fan base would like.
Don't wait months for new windows on your home. Express Windows can have them installed in just weeks with high-quality double-hung windows starting at only $359. Call Express Windows for a free at-home estimate or stop by our showroom on Delaware Avenue in Tonawanda.
Topic number two, Mike, and this really plays into our discussion about the standings. The Atlantic Division, like, what should we make of any of these teams? Of course, you see Tampa, they're still hanging around. The Panthers are still good. But Ottawa, Buffalo, Detroit, everyone was thinking one of those teams is going to be the one that takes that big leap into a playoff spot.
And who's leaping?
Everyone in Canada was picking the Senators. Everyone in the U.S. seemed to be picking the Red Wings. And look who's in a playoff spot as we sit here talking right now.
The Montreal Canadiens are in a playoff spot after beating Vancouver in overtime on Monday night. And they were buried. They were a disaster.
They were bad.
They were behind the Sabres when I went to Montreal on December 17th. And it was the day Terry Pegula talked to the Sabres. The next day they play the Habs. The Habs are 4 days removed from a 9-2 loss against Pittsburgh at home. They go and score 19 seconds into the game, beat the Sabres 6-1. The Sabres good in complete chaos, not responding to the owner's talk, and the Habs have taken off. What has Montreal done in the last 3 weeks? They went on the road. Explain this one to me. They beat the last four Stanley Cup champions on a road trip. They beat Tampa and Florida. Then they beat Vegas and Colorado, but somehow in the middle of all that on the road, lost to Chicago, which makes no sense whatsoever.
This league doesn't make sense for results like that. You look at some of the teams the Sabres have beaten.
Right.
And then you look at their losses over the last couple of years.
They beat Vancouver last night in overtime. And now all of a sudden you have the Montreal media who has paraded Lane Hutson all year as a Calder candidate.
Michael Jordan of the NHL.
And now the kid is leading rookies in scoring. And you might say he's pushing ahead of Matvei Michkov in the Calder vote. And it might be Lane Hutson and Macklin Celebrini for the Calder trophy now. And Martin Saint-Louis was under a lot of pressure in Montreal when I was there 3 weeks ago. And people wondered if he was going to be the guy to lift this club out there. But the Canadians have some great prospects. They have guys like Brendan Gallagher who drive the Sabres crazy. The Patrick Laine deal has completely evolve their team much faster than anybody thought it could.
Yeah, their forward group's pretty balanced. You look at what they have up front, the veterans, the younger guys, Suzuki, Caulfield. You would have expected them to be able to score goals. The surprising part to me, Mike, is just defensively.
Yeah.
You would think they don't have anything.
But
they've got a young kid who, Hudson's a good player, but he's also tiny.
And Mike Matheson is playing 25 minutes a night.
He's been great.
He's been terrific, and that's been a big key.
And they've gotten good goaltending.
Yeah.
So I think it just goes to show you the parity in the league. And that's the thing. It's another reason why fans are just so annoyed with the Sabres right now, because
They should
be
there.
They should be better. They should be better than that team.
Because we know it's Toronto and Florida at the top of this division.
Yes.
We know Tampa Bay still looks pretty good. I don't believe in Boston. They're still there. I still think they may drop down to fourth. But the Sabres are basically just trying to be fifth in the division and eighth in the conference, and they can't even do that. And to be passed by the Montreal Canadiens, it would be the ultimate irony. Buffalo, Detroit, Ottawa, one of these three teams, which one's going to make the breakthrough? Imagine if none of them do, and Montreal passes all of them and makes the playoffs.
It would be interesting to see, if that were to happen, it would be interesting to see how it influences each of those other teams' off seasons. Some people are going to lose their jobs.
People are going to get fired.
Because Montreal shouldn't have been the one that really took that leap. So there's going to be some upset owners if that happens. Topic number three, Mike. Tage Thompson's playing a lot better. That is very significant to the Sabres. Rasmus Dahlin is healthy. Their power play looks, it's a night and day difference with him back. Alex Tuch offensively, a lot better as of late, although he expressed some frustrations after the game in terms of him being able to find his identity with the puck this season.
Hit the net.
It's a problem.
Hit the net.
Jason Zucker's been this team's best free agent acquisition in 30 years, at least up front, and that's significant. But for this team, like, to really go on any sort of run and play with any semblance of consistency, the youngest players on this roster need to become consistent difference makers and learn how to win. Now, Lindy Ruff told us after the game on Monday, he's encouraged. He's seeing signs that they've learned from that brutal pain, that painful winless streak. He likes to use the word painful to describe it. Don't blame him. Paterka's looked really good. J.J. Yes. Paterka had a great game on Monday night. They need more of that from not only Paterka, Jack Quinn, Zach Benson. Yuri Kluk's probably injured at the moment, lower body injury. But that makes up a big chunk of their middle six. And now everybody likes to talk about top 6-4. That's what the Sabres need. They just need more contributions from that middle group. Now, Lindy Ruff needs more forwards he can trust. It's tough to do that when three or four of those guys just are making too many mistakes.
Right, and I mean, J.J. Paterka was the guy they really thought was going to take off this year, maybe be a 30 or 35-goal guy.
And at the start of the season, it looked like he was going to be
It looked like he was. He was a top-line player. It looked like he could get that 30-goal mark, but he has literally been invisible for many of these games. And I thought against Washington, that was his best game in weeks. He was skating. I think he really benefited from playing alongside of Ryan McLeod, who really also benefited from being able to be moved up in the lineup and not be on the fourth line. But you're right. They need the Paterkas and the Quinns and these younger guys to keep giving them the kind of play, a lot of the kind of play that we've seen from Benson, who is in the middle of a lot of things. A lot of times Paterka and Quinn just are invisible. And Benson is the one who's in the middle of things and gets in the middle of scrums and can create some offense for them and just could create some scoring opportunities that you don't see enough from Paterka and Quinn. But Paterka played his A game last night against the Capitals, and we need to see more of that from them because that's a guy they need to get offense from.
Benson can play on basically any line for you.
Yeah.
And that's very rare for a 19-year-old player. He's contributing. If he's not scoring, he's getting under the other team's skin, which is something that the Sabres needed after buying out Jeff Skinner. They needed a guy like that.
Yeah.
And he wins battles. So fans, I would say the organization, there's got to be optimism about what you've seen from Benson, of course. Paterka, it's there.
Right.
He can be a goal scorer. You don't score 28 in this league out of nowhere. The thing is, though, you look at Quinn, you mentioned those struggles. Kulik, he's still young. That's fine. But this isn't only about success in the interim, Mike, and really salvaging this season. It's about the big picture. They need these young guys to develop. This is part of the plan. This is Kevin Adams' plan. This is Terry Pegula's plan. Build around these young players. And if they're not improving under Lindy Ruff, then this playoff drought's just going to keep going longer because this is the makeup of their team. It is what it is.
And they have to figure it out because what do you do with the cap? What do you do salary-wise? How do you pay J.J. Paterka? How do you pay Jack Quinn? We realize now from this season they're not paying those guys long-term big dollars, which I think was in Kevin Adams' mind in the summer when he didn't make some other moves. Well, if I have to pay J.J. Paterka $7 million for 7 years, I can't do X over the summer. Well, he can make some moves now because they're not paying big money for these guys right now the way this season has gone.
And Jack Quinn might not have a roster spot, Mike. And you think about the guys in Rochester right now, the prospects who are developing, they're going to be pushing for the NHL next year.
And somebody's going to get traded. Somebody's going here for something else.
And
you can bring up one of these guys from Rochester or acquire somebody from out of the organization, but they're all not staying. Sometimes, you know, we see this in baseball. You and I both have baseball backgrounds. Yeah. Your prospects are used to be traded. In hockey, these teams are very tight. I have to keep my prospects because they want the entry-level deals. But a lot of times you trade them. Assets.
And Jack Quinn was Kevin Adams' first draft pick.
Right, so he doesn't want to trade him.
He does not want to trade him. And I get it. You see the shot. You see what he is capable of when he's healthy, but it hasn't been working this season whatsoever. There's been way too much inconsistency, and he doesn't do the little things that are going to help you win hockey games. Puck battles, hold onto the puck in key situations. So it is going to be fascinating to see who the next wave of guys, are they able to push somebody like Quinn out, and does it influence what they do with this roster in the offseason, which leads to our final topic, Mike. And this is going to be a painful one for our listeners to this is just going to be a painful one for fans. This season, and the way that it's gone sideways, Mike, think about it. It could end up costing the Sabres Alex Tuch, Bo Byram, Jordan Greenway, and Jason Zucker. Four key veterans that have been brought in over the last 3 years to play around these young guys.
Right.
Now, of course, only Greenway and Zucker are pending unrestricted free agents. So in all likelihood, if this team doesn't figure it out soon, they're going to be traded before the deadline. But then you look at Byram and Tuch. Byram's a restricted free agent this summer. He's going to want a lot of money based on the way that he's played. Tuck's got 1 year left.
Right.
His trade value is still very high, and you need to have that conversation, I would think, if you're Kevin Adams. Where is Alex Tuch at? Does Alex Tuch want to be in Buffalo long term? Because you keep hearing the reports that Alex Tuch is untouchable, the Sabres aren't going to move him. And Kevin Adams has gone as far as to say it to even the local media.
Yep.
I'm not trading Alex Tuch. He's somebody that I'm building around.
Right.
Well, Tuck's got to want to sign here, and after what he's seen over the last 3 years, and really the perception that this organization might have hit a wall a little bit with this current plan, does he see signs that this is going to turn around anytime soon?
Well, that's the key point. The organization hitting the wall. Does he feel that he can't win here? Alex Tuch, remember, has played more playoff games than anybody on this roster. He's played in a Stanley Cup final with the Vegas Golden Knights. If he doesn't think this team has any sort of playoff shot, he is going to have to take a serious look at his career. Jason Zucker is in his 30s. He's going to want to play for a Stanley Cup. Jordan Greenway is going to want to play for a Stanley Cup. They all really like it here. But if they don't feel there's going to be enough progress here, they're going to have to take stock, and they're probably going to say to Kevin Adams, you know what, you probably have to move me here and really think about seeing what you can get, because I want to play in a winning organization. And that's why these last 40 games, this second half, and really the next 20 games, 25 games going into the deadline, are going to be very important for these guys to make some decisions and have some conversations with their agents and their families and Kevin Adams to figure out what they want, because if this organization's going nowhere, they're going to want to go somewhere else.
And there needs to be a sense of urgency from Kevin Adams to show these guys, we're serious about winning
right here.
Right. And I know there's talk about sacrificing the future for short-term success, wanting to consider the salary cap in future years. Well, you're not going to have to worry about the salary cap if all these guys want to leave.
Well, and
who are you playing?
and why is Kevin Adams worried about the future? He doesn't have a future. Kevin Adams is GMing for the short term.
Yes.
Because if this continues, he's not going to have a job. So he needs to make some moves. I mean, I know the rumors are out there. Hey, what could they mortgage here for a long-term run at Elias Pettersson? Well, that would take an awful lot. But that's the kind of big swing that Kevin Adams may need to take here, because they need to make the playoffs. Until they make the playoffs, this organization's going nowhere, and guys like Tuch and Greenway and Zucker are going to say to themselves, do I want to stay?
And of course, they have the luxury, I would say, of being able to overpay some of these guys.
Right.
They got the cap space. Other contenders aren't going to be able to do that. And Tuch, his last contract he signed with Vegas, He was underpaid. Yeah, he's underpaid.
He's going to want to get.
He did a longer-term deal for financial security,
yes,
and now this is the time for him to get paid. This is maybe his probably last big payday as a player, a longer-term deal. Does he want to be in Buffalo?
Right, and they don't have to pay Peterka and Quinn $7 million.
Or Devin Levi.
Because
at the start of the season, we were talking about those three. How expensive are they going to become? Well,
some of that money can go to Alex Tuch. And I think that's the plan that Kevin Adams has to use. Tuch is making $4.7 million. He's going to end up getting in that $6.5 to $7 million range on a long-term deal that Peterka and Quinn aren't going to get right now. Levi, you don't have to pay right now. They're going to have some money available that they were I think, earmarking for those three guys.
Hypothetically, how would you handle Bo Byram's contract? Let's say you're the general manager. He comes to you. I'm interested in signing, but I want more money than you gave Owen Power.
Oh, I was just going to say.
Because that's what it's going to be.
Sure.
Like, he's going to want more than Owen Power.
His agent is going to say, hey, Owen Power is making $8.3 million.
And my guy's better than that.
My guy's way better than that.
And he has a Stanley Cup ring.
Well, that's the other thing. Owen Power and Bowen Byram basically are the same age.
Yep.
Bowen Byram has a Stanley Cup ring with the Colorado Avalanche. So he has to be thinking to himself, I'm an $8.5-9 million defenseman. And his agent is certainly going to be thinking that. So I think the Sabres have a real problem, not with Alex Tuch, not with Greenway Zucker. The real issue they have is, what do they pay Bowen Byram? Does he want to stay? How long is it for? Because if you take Bowen Byram out of this lineup, that's a 25-minute-a-game guy who is paired with Rasmus Dahlin.
And they've been very good together.
Yeah.
He's Dahlin's best defense partner since Dahlin came to the league. I don't think there's any question about that.
And I think the Sabres know they have to pay him and are willing to pay him. I think the bigger question here is, Bowen Byram want to stay in Buffalo for the long term? Does he think there's a future to win a Stanley Cup here, because he's already won one? He knows what it takes to win one. And if he doesn't feel that they're going the right direction here, he's probably going to say to them, you know, you need to move me.
Since you've got Tage Thompson locked up, your goaltending is in a good place, not only short-term and long-term, with Uko and Levi. Personally, Mike, if I were the general manager and Bo Byram comes to me and says, I want to sign, I would pay him.
I would do it today.
Even if I'm allocating a huge chunk of my salary cap to three defensemen, I think you look at how the best teams in this league are very good on the back end.
Right.
And they've got multiple guys who could do it. And Bo Byram hasn't produced on the power play yet, but he's got that in him.
And people squawk about Samuelson's contract. And I get it. Mattias Samuelson got paid too soon. He didn't deserve 7 years. It's only $4.75 million.
And that's the only redeeming value to it.
It's only $4.75 million. With the cap going up the way it's going up, that's a relatively inexpensive contract for a 20-minute guy. Bowen Byram's the one who's going to need to get that $8 to $9 million. And I think they're just going to have to do it.
They will. There's going to have to be some changes to this roster. It's just very fascinating to consider who's going to be moving in, who's going to be moving out. The fans want that big move. I mean, I've never seen so much unrest over a waiver claim like Arthur Kaliev, right? Because they just want any sort of change, and I get it.
Yeah.
But rushing prospects from Rochester isn't the solution. Making a move for the sake of a move isn't the solution, but they've got to do something if they're going to keep these
guys. I'm close to make a move for the sake of making a move.
Bring
in an NHL veteran here just to shake up the roster, shake up the room a little. I mean, they are 4-2-1.
Wave one of those
seven.
Fourth line guys.
Yeah.
And I'm not referring to Beck Malenstein. He's actually been good.
Yeah. I would wave Abe Kubel. I don't know about Kaliev. That's a guy who has a lot of red flags to him. But if there's guys out there like that or available or even on waivers, I would certainly be taking a look at anybody who's available.
He's Mike Harrington. I'm Lance Lysowski. Thanks for joining us. I don't know how many of these in-person ones we're going to do, Mike, during hockey season, but this was a nice little experiment. I hope people liked it. Thank you all for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Take care.